Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I think I want to tell you that being the mother of football at the University of West Florida, nothing draws people like football. From the season we started to today, with a national championship in the middle, I've been at the university for 40 years, and I have never seen anything as transformational as football.
You know, that's, of course, Judy Benz, as she self-describes, the mother of UWF football, which I like. I think that's fair. You know, Mother Dragons, Mother Football. I think that's an appropriate title for her, and I like it. And the idea is that they want a stadium, right? They want a new stadium. They're going to spend $45 million on it, $2 million of which they're asking to be funded by the public, the TDC, the tourism development tax approved by the council, which is collected on people staying in hotels. That's the 5% that you pay when you stay in a hotel, and that money goes into a big pot, and that pot is supposed to promote tourism and also provide for tourism. And maybe, arguably, it's something that it would, well, it can either lead to more stays and nights or maybe remedy some of the problems created by tourism. Theoretically, you would hope that would be the case, but there's a lot of discussion about what is and was not allowed. Of course, the TDC, a lot of conversation about whether that money is able to be used for the Chappie James Monument. You remember that more recently. But that was not on the agenda for the other day. What instead they were talking about is the importance of football to Pensacola, to tourism, to the growth of UWF, and again, in this $2 million ask.
I knew that football would be good, but I never knew it would be this good for the university, for the community, for enrollment. I was astounded at alumni the first few years who came back who had not been here in 30 years. Alumni in wheelchairs making their last trip to the university. This is a reason, football, is a reason for people to come back to the university. We have tens of thousands of alumni, and almost all of them like football.
Yeah, I mean, certainly true. And not just that, but facilities do matter to recruiting, to prestige.
Facilities matter. They matter to getting good football players. They matter to people coming to see the game. They matter to their parents when they're deciding on where their players want to go. It is very important in the next step of growth to the University of West Florida. And there is nothing that will draw people like football, and a big stadium says you're serious. I appreciate your help. It will make a big difference, and you will have some skin in our game, and we will deliver.
I love that way of explaining it. No, that's right. All the kind of a lot of the big players in town were there to promote this. Judy Benz is there. Dick Appleyard, the Appleyard Agency.
Stadiums do attract visitors, fans, families, teams, and students who stay at local hotels and eat at local restaurants. But stadiums need heroes. We have evidence that ballparks and stadiums change communities. Look at what happened in downtown Pensacola after the Maritime Park was built. Look at how it attracted business and people and the community.
He says that, and he certainly lived here a lot longer than I have. Is that, I don't remember the one to cause and effect relationship of Wahoo Stadium and downtown. It seems like they were kind of happening together. But, you know, Dick Appleyard is certainly in a better position to know than I am. Daryl Gooden, for whom the stadium either is going to be named, I believe is correct, and he was a 1973 UWF grad.
I just wanted to talk today to let you know that, we've raised quite a bit out there to get it going, and I'm actually the investor that put up the $10 million as a gift, and I just wanted y'all to know that I am fully in on this because I've got a lot of money invested in it myself, you know. As a matter of fact, I think I got all my savings and my life savings invested in it. So I'm really in. So if y'all will join us and help us out and put up some money, I'll watch your money just like I watch my own.
I like that. Jen Brer spoke about this. Charles Brer, Jen Brer is a city councilwoman, and I thought made some fairly it's one thing that I think academics tend to hate to have to say, but there is a truth in what she's saying here.
I'm a proud graduate. My son's a proud graduate. My daughter is there now. My sister graduated. My brother graduated in 74, just so you know. So he came over when it was a two-year also, and we've been proud of it the entire time. We've been proud of it watching. And I remember my dad's big complaint about me getting a degree there was that if you don't have a school that has a football team, then people won't know what your degree's worth. And I know that sounds silly, but the truth is that football alerts everybody to your school. And it's not that it's all about football, but it does bring that national spotlight.
Isn't it weird that the prestige indicator for a university is whether you have or don't have football, what quality of football you have? And it is a weird marker because you would not think, well, what does that have to do with nursing? You know, well, sports medicine, you know, but no, seriously, what does that have to do with engineering, you know? What does that have to do with all of the different, you know, IT and cyber and the programs that UWF specializes in, right? The answer is, I don't know, but it is. It's the barometer. It's the, you know, if you don't have a football team, that's the one thing that people know about your degree is your team, your degree comes from a place that doesn't have football or doesn't have good football or, you know, and has D2 football instead of D1 football, which we all wonder is maybe not that in the future for UWF. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the phone. By the way, it's University of West Florida's, you know, where they're talking about. Somebody texts in, who's getting a UWF? UWF. So, sorry. Anyway, John, go ahead.
That's right. Still dealing with that accident on Old Palafox just north of East 10 Mile Road. It's causing delays both in north and southbound lane. And if you're headed southbound on Highway 29 toward East 10 Mile Road, expect about a 10 to 12 minute delay associated there. Let's see here. I-10, I-110 are actually looking good this morning. 98 is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. So back to the conversation they were having at the TDC about whether to fund a $45 million football stadium on the campus of UWF with $2 million of tourism development tax money.
The fact that we're only being asked for $2 million out of a $45 million build goes to show that we're just partners in this in a kind of incremental way, but I think that I am fully in supporting this tonight.
Yeah, and I think there's something kind of, humble, I guess, restrained about only asking for $2 million. They could have asked for more. In fact, I was almost, when I was watching this meeting, thinking to myself, I wonder if somebody's going to propose giving them extra money. Because they could. You know, and they were gushing. I mean, the council was gushing about this, and not inappropriately so. The stadium's going to double in size from 3,800 now to about 7,500. They think they can get more people to come in, like Judy mentioned. You know, people come in for this, alumni who've never had a reason to come back to UWF, come just to watch football. Charles is not a particularly emotional guy. He was gushing. It was 7 minutes. He spoke for 7 minutes, and there was a part right in the middle that kind of made me laugh a little bit, but I'm going to let him tell it his way.
When I came to UWF, I was a 17-year-old freshman. I didn't turn 18 until I'd been there about a week in classes. I went to orientation a couple days before I started class. I had no idea what to expect when I got there. Just to give you a little background, I had applied to several universities. I was not the best student. My SAT scores were not great. And so I looked for like universities that I felt like I could excel in. And one of my criteria was that I was a very nerdy kid in high school. And they used to have these college books. They don't have those anymore. You could put in criteria and look and see what was, you know, where you wanted to go. And one of the criteria was the female to male ratio. And as a very nerdy kid, I was looking for a school that had more females than males so I'd have a chance of having a date. So that was one of my criteria.
Hey, it's not the worst reason to pick a school. You know, you're looking to get a degree and a partner. I mean, you know, raise your odds. I mean, consider the alternative. You go to a school that's 70% men. Dummy. You know, like, it's kind of smart. Anyway, so I didn't know. He said that the university could have gone somewhere else. I mean, I don't know much of the history, but apparently it wasn't, early a lock on that it was going to come here. Jason Nicholson, another member of the board, asked the question about capacity. Dave Scott, the athletic director, answers.
Current scenario and understanding that it's in a temporary format right now and probably not as conducive as a fully built out state-of-the-art facility, how often does the stadium hit capacity during the football season presently?
You might as well stay up there.
We have about 3,800 seats. Last year, we averaged about 4,500 people. So,
oh, wow. I like
our
that.
Our problem is we don't have enough seats.
Yeah. Yeah, understood. Thank you.
And then the other question, and part of the reason this is being pitched to the TDC is not because it's just football, but football will bring in visitors is the claim, but also that the stadium will have other uses besides just for football on the weekends and the home games, right?
And last question, if there were open windows in the athletic schedule in the football field, or the football stadium as it were, could Escambia County or the Pensacola Sports Association book into that space?
Yes, sir.
Great, thank you.
Much like, you know, Wahoos hosts other things as well, and not every day necessarily, but as often as they can, right? So a couple of thoughts. One thought is I still feel a little bit of regret that we don't keep it at Wahoo Stadium. I thought that was a great place for UWF football. It tied the downtown to the school. It gave people who come to football games a place where they could go and then do other stuff afterwards. I mean, if you go to watch a football game out at UWF, what do you do afterwards? You drive down to 9 Mile and eat? I mean, you know, like there's not stuff right there. Whereas if you're parked at Wahoo's, you just walk over to Palafox. It's kind of all integrated, right? It's a whole day kind of atmosphere. No, I mean, a lot of other schools have the same issue. I mean, I went to the University of Illinois. The stadium is nowhere near anything. Like, you have to go somewhere to get to everything. It's in the middle of nowhere, the stadium, basically. So that's not necessarily a deal breaker. But I always liked the idea of it being – but that decision has long since been made, and I lost. So then the question is, well, okay, UWF, it's a good place to have a football game. But – what's the one thing we all know is lacking at UWF? Parking. There is, let's just say, a challenge going to park at UWF. And, you know, if you happen to have a student sticker or something like that, it's one thing. But even then, you know, getting in the right lot and finding the right place. And look, you know, big schools always have parking challenges. That's not unique to UWF. But my question is, where are people going to park? If you double the capacity of the stadium, and it did not come up in the meeting, which surprised me, you know, where are people going to park for this thing? Because a parking, you know, parking lots, ground lots are not that expensive to build. Parking structures are very expensive to build. What's the number of, is our call like $20,000 or $25,000 a space? You know, the one that West Florida Hospital just built, very expensive. So I don't know what the parking answer is, and it did not come up, but I would be curious. But yeah, $2 million out of a $45 million project. It's likely to bring tourism. It's likely to, you know, increase participation in the community. It would serve as something that other entities could use, like for concerts and things like this, outdoor concerts, I guess. You know, so just it was an obvious yes with all the support of the community. So especially, you know what, just a small note, I think with all of the kind of beleaguered feeling that UWF has right now over the Board of Trustees stuff, I think everybody was pretty excited to give UWF a win on something. You know, as I mean, even Charles Baer mentioned, this is a chance for us to like prove our support and loyalty for this university. And I think, I don't know that it was a big factor, but there was, you know, maybe an element of that. 7:23 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Often the most unhealthy part of a person is their mind. People fantasize about life with a different spouse, or they entertain negative thoughts that often lead to depression, or some people think of themselves more highly than they ought. After all, no one knows what you're thinking unless you tell them. It's easy to keep secret the bad habits of the mind. Did you know that 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ? Beware of thinking on things that inhibit your spiritual growth or undermine your relationship with others. Instead, capture your thoughts and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You'll be glad you did, and so will the people in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Good morning, 725, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Keep your ears and your eyes to the skies this morning. You may catch a glimpse of that C5 Galaxy departing with an old F-18 from the Gulf War era, the Gulf War, over to California. I will say this, if it takes off and you're in Escambia County, you'll be able to see it. I don't know. Probably like not from maybe from Century. I mean, with binoculars. No, but anywhere in the, you know, south
telescope.
Of I-10. Anyway, yeah, with
telescope.
Some kid's like, pan away from the moon, Dad. I got to see this galaxy. Get it? It's astronomy. It's anyway.
Yeah, right, I know. That's why I said telescope.
Joke. All right. you made the terrible joke. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still dealing with that accident on Old Palafox just north of East 10 Mile Road, which is causing delays on Highway 29 going southbound. And also we're seeing delays on North Palafox going northbound. And 10 Mile Road is actually seeing some delays both east and west. So just be aware of that. I-10, I-110 are still flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you're working on a hardware project of any kind and you need good supplies, Pensacola Hardware, they'll take care of you. They've been doing this since 1851, since before the Civil War, before there was Levi's. Like, they have been around. And if you work in the construction industry for a living and you build things, hey, man, they're your place. And if you've heard me talking about this and you haven't been there, just go. Go look around and ask. Like, talk to Jimmy or Martin or Mansfield and say, Andrew's always saying that you're my place. You know, show me. Prove it to me. What can you do for me? Ask. They don't mind you asking, okay? But for commercial construction supply, that is your business. And, you know, they've got what you need in stock. And if it's some specialized product, a special order, a specified product, the architect or the engineer needs something, they do that for people all the time. It's not even a trouble for them. Like, they're eager to help because they get it. They've kind of been the backbone of construction in this area for a long time. Pensacola Hardware, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. 727 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, a couple of people have said to me, Andrew, I think maybe that the UWF transitioned over to the current football field when the Wahoos underwent their turf transition from grass to turf. But the Argos field on the campus is turf too, right? I've not been to a game since they moved, so I can't say for a certain, but it's got to be turf out there, right? I don't know. Anyway, I don't remember that being a part of the issue, because when they went with the Marlins, they had to go, when the Wahoos became a Marlins affiliate, I remember that, but I don't remember that being a key, because I mean, college teams play on turf. I mean, on artificial turf. Anyway, talking out loud. 728, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Following the death of Pope Francis, a conclave will be scheduled to select the next leader of the Roman Catholic Church, as they did when Francis was elected in 2013. Eligible cardinals will meet in the Sistine Chapel to vote for a new pope. Black smoke means that no decision has been made. White smoke indicates
Habemus Papam.
That a new pope has been selected. The conclave will happen in the next few weeks. The Boston Marathon today.
By the way, I was reading a story that had, you know, a couple of the names of likely cardinals to be advanced to be the Pope. Yeah. None of whom I was familiar with, not surprising, but I was curious if any American popes or any American bishops were on the list, but like Tim Dolan, but none of them were. And so the one that was interesting though to me is there is a black bishop who is on the list of favorites. So it could be the first black pope in history. Well, not but since it's been 500 or 600 years, there was one a long time ago. Anyway, sorry, go ahead, David.
No, that would be very interesting. We'll see what happens here in the next few weeks. Today's Boston Marathon will be under heavy security. Local, state, and federal authorities there collaborating annually on their security plan. Police barricades in Boston are up, and uniformed and plain-clothed police officers are on hand, saturating that area. The annual Lyrid meteor shower peaks tonight, Andrew, going into the early morning hours tomorrow. Depending on weather and sky conditions, you could potentially see up to 15 shooting stars per hour.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Do you have a time window for that?
It just says early tomorrow morning.
Early morning. Okay, yeah. Very good. Oh, did I say Tom Dolan or Tim Dolan? Which one did I say for the bishop? Timothy Dolan is the bishop. I had a very good friend named Tom Dolan, so I sometimes cross them over in my head. But no, he's not in the – he's not – like, I mean, he could be. You never know who could wind up getting it. Could be somebody completely unlikely who wanted to become the next pope.
This is a Fox News Alert. I'm CJ Papa. The leader of the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, dies today at the age of 88. Fox's Greg Pelcott in London.
After weeks of sometimes critical illness, 88-year-old Pope Francis is passed away. He was the first pope from the Americas. He was a symbol of humility and compassion for the poor and downtrodden. Now he is gone.
Archbishop of New York, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, earlier at St. Patrick's in Midtown Manhattan.
You couldn't choreograph it any better than what happened. The last time we saw him, Easter Sunday, the last words of Blessed Easter as he gave us his blessing.
President Trump posting on Truth Social, rest in peace, Pope Francis. May God bless him and all who loved him. Pope Francis was 88. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 70 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. A missing 16-year-old swimmer's body was recovered this morning near the Navarre Bridge. The teen had reportedly been swimming to the east of the bridge when he went missing. He was not using a flotation device at the time. Crews from multiple area search and rescues helped in that search. The teen's body was found just after 6 o'clock this morning. A Pensacola man is facing charges for the attempted murder of a federal agent, 35-year-old Austin McCastler. He was indicted by a federal grand jury last week on several drug charges and attempted murder. Officials say McCastler fired shots at a DEA agent as a search warrant was being served at his Pensacola home. He's due in court tomorrow for an arraignment. There were protests across the Gulf Coast and across the nation over the weekend. Protesters with the 50-51 movement gathered in Pensacola at Bayview Park on Saturday to protest the Trump administration.
We are here. We're here to support you. We're here to support America, all of America, white, brown, black, Native Americans. We've all got to come together. This is about the United States of America.
And it's environmental activist Dr. Gloria Horning. She talked to Channel 3. Organizers say they were happy with the turnout, although it was smaller than a similar protest held last month. The two fatal shooting victims in the FSU shooting last week have now been identified. They were school dining coordinator Robert Morales and vendor employee Tyru Chaba. Other shooting victims are reportedly in stable condition and expected to recover. Police say 20-year-old Phoenix Eichner opened fire at the university's student union during lunchtime Thursday. Eichner was shot and captured after he confronted police officers. FSU trying to get back to normal today. Classes are resuming. The school's offering students, though, a choice of either in-person classes or going remote temporarily. The school says they want everybody to get the support and the help they need, but that does mean different things for different students. Meanwhile, flags across the state remain at half staff today. Governor DeSantis said that would be in honor of the victims and also to recognize the bravery shown by first responders. Flags will remain at half staff until sunset tonight. Governor DeSantis has signed a new law regulating pet insurance in Florida. This is after unanimous approval from the legislature. The law requires insurers to disclose coverage details, including exclusions for chronic conditions. With rising veterinary costs, more pet owners have been considering insurance for their animals' health care. That new law takes effect on January 1st. Well, nonprofit Feeding the Gulf Coast is set for a big expansion at their facility in Milton. The organization confirming to WKRG that they'll begin a 6,000-square-foot expansion, which will enable them to process more food and provide additional resources to the community. They plan to add a kitchen, and they'll be preparing meals for kids and offering nutritional classes at their facility. Feeding the Gulf Coast provided 14 million meals across the panhandle last year. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. The one on Old Palafox has been cleared out of the way, but still seeing some delays at 10 Mile and Old Palafox. Also, I-10 eastbound between right around the Highway 29 exit there. We're seeing some slowdowns. Maybe a 7 to 10 minute delay as it starts to back up almost to Pine Forest Road. So be aware of that through that construction zone. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be looking at a nice day today with temperatures staying warm. We will be looking at a little more cloud cover as we go into your afternoon with a small chance of rain, 20% overall. High near 78 degrees, low tonight near 69 degrees. For Tuesday, about a 30% chance of some pop-up showers, especially inland areas. High near 78. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 69. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got 70 degrees. It is partly cloudy this morning in Pensacola. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The yield on the 10-year Treasury note rose this morning as investors weighed concerns over tariffs and comments by President Trump criticizing Fed Chair Jerome Powell. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield was 6 basis points higher at 4.391%. DHL is suspending high-value shipments to the U.S. effective today as it struggles with delays from customs clearances amid the new U.S. rules. The action comes as new U.S. customs regulations have required goods above $800 in value to undergo tighter customs processing, which took effect April 5th. The Wall Street Journal reports the Trump administration has grown so furious with Harvard University after a week of escalating disputes that it is planning to pull an additional $1 billion of the school's funding for health research. Futures are sharply lower as investors await progress on Trump's trade deals. On Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 527, the NASDAQ down 20. That's your money now.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
It will be a beautiful day in the neighborhood on Saturday, April 26th, when WSRE hosts Be My Neighbor Day. Bring the kids from 10 to 2 to the WSRE Amos studio, where they'll meet Daniel Tiger and enjoy free family fun focused on early learning, health, and safety, and the neighborly values of Mr. Rogers. Visit WSRE.org/events to learn more. Sponsored in part by the Florida Prepaid College Board, State Farm, covering Florida, and the Lastinger Center for Learning at the University of Florida.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Good morning, 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Of course, yesterday was Easter Sunday. Today, this morning, very early, Pope Francis passed away at the age of 88 and will now be looking for, or I should say Catholics, I'm not a Catholic, but the Catholics will now be looking for a new pontiff. And as a non-Catholic, I'll just tell you honestly, I always have, whenever a pope passes away, I'm always a little reluctant to talk too much about it because as a major world leader, obviously, as a major force for religion and, you know, evangelism and Christianity, you know, of course. But as a non-Catholic, it's kind of not my place, really, to talk a lot. But I will say this. As a non-Catholic, I've talked a lot about the Pope in the past, and much more favorably than I think a lot of more conservative, even Catholics and non-Catholics, have, because I think the Pope got mischaracterized a lot. Now, he's often described as a reformer or more inclusive, sort of a kinder, gentler Catholic faith, especially when it comes to gay parishioners or even gay priests. And again, I think a lot of that has been misreported because I think it's important to get it right, to be accurate. And when he would say things like, homosexuality is a sin but not a crime, you know, people tended to not hear the sin part. And that's an important part of the message of the church. It's always been. In fact, the, I will take a little bit of liberty here. Feel free to share your thoughts on Pope Francis if you want, especially if you're a Catholic and what the significance of his passing means to you. 437-1620. I'd love to, you know, share your thoughts and let you share your thoughts. But the eagerness to find almost like the, too much desire to find a pope who's going to say what this modern sexually liberal culture wants it to say made people hear him saying things he wasn't saying. You know, there's very little that I read of what the Pope had written that departed from traditional doctrines of Catholicism. I mean, every pope is going to put his imprint on the faith, of course. But his effort to make the church more Christian in its attitude towards sexual sin doesn't mean that it changed its view that it was still sexual sin. You know, one of the things that conservatives, religious conservatives across the board, have done a terrible job of, okay, and I'm sure you would accuse me of doing it too, and so I'll take a moment to talk about this. We treat homosexuality as a uniquely problematic sexual sin. It's just one of them. You know, there's lots of them. You know, on the one hand, conservatives tend to say that gay relationships are so wrong, and then turn around and, you know, your nephew and his girlfriend, they're living together, you think, oh, okay. Or somebody else over there that's on their third divorce, okay. Well, if you read the Bible faithfully, it's kind of all of that stuff is problematic. And there's also a kind of arrogance, right? It's kind of a, you know, the other people who suffer temptations that I don't suffer were very mean towards them, you know, as opposed to saying, hey, Everybody's flawed. Everybody's got these evils in their life. Everybody's inclined towards evil. And by the way, having the desire is not the sin. It's indulging in the behavior, right, that turns it into a sin. And so, which is something we don't say nearly often enough either. And by the way, that was something that he was, I thought, very good at trying to elucidate, is that the desire to do a bad thing, whether it's a desire to steal or a desire to harm somebody, to take your own vengeance, whether it's a desire to engage in some illicit sexual behavior, they're all sinful desires that everybody struggles with to a different degree. You know, if you look at the seven deadly sins, I think everybody struggles with all of them. Pride and wrath and greed and gluttony and sloth. I mean, they're things we all struggle with in varying degrees. And that's why you need a savior, you know, to come in and fix your heart, because you can't fix it. And even if you get your behavior right, the behavior is still born of a corrupt heart. And all these things that are built into good Christian theology. And this is kind of my long-winded way, I guess, of saying that what I heard the Pope saying was, if you're going to apply any kind of criticism, you apply it against indulging in the behavior. You don't apply it against having the desire. And that's right. But he also, I thought, was very clear that, you know, it's sort of all of these things are problems, which is also right. And so conservatives, I think, criticized him for sounding too liberal. And liberals praised him because they misunderstood him as sounding too liberal. Because I thought he was actually doing a fairly good job of trying to explain the gospel and the New Testament perspective on these matters that, and I know if you're a conservative and you like to be strident, and a lot of them do, okay, you get itchy when people are, you know, sound soft on sin, you know? But I don't know. I read a Bible that Jesus forgives people and then tells them to stop sinning, right? Like, it's both. And ate with the sinners and forgave the prostitute and, you know, just there's a lot to it. And we go errant on both sides when we want to say that the sin isn't the sin, and we go errant on the other side when we want to be real harsh on the sin. So, I don't know. As a non-Catholic, I wouldn't say Pope Francis is necessarily the greatest pope that I admired the most on every point of doctrine, but I continually felt like he was misunderstood by both those who wanted him to be saying what he wasn't and those who interpreted him as saying what he wasn't. Kind of attacked from both sides, was my opinion, as, again, a non-Catholic. John Pickens has Traffic on the Five. John?
Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still rolling accident-free right now, but seeing backups on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Maybe a 5 to 7 minute congestion delay through that construction zone. But other than that, we are looking good traffic-wise. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
You know, just one last quick note on this subject. And this is a challenge to Christians, okay? So if you're not, you know, I don't know, listen, but, you know, it's not really for you. We just celebrate Easter. We just celebrate Good Friday. We just celebrate a time when somebody died for everyone, endured more punishment, you know, overpaid, as I like to say it, because, you know, got a pretty bad deal in response. And that may sound flippant, but it's really not. John, can you confirm? We had a lot of conversation
about
that.
Yes, we did.
Okay. But a question I ask myself, and I think we all Christians ought to ask themselves, am I willing, having received that gift, having embraced that gift, having praising that gift, am I willing to sacrifice for the people that are outside? You know, am I showing enough love? And you say, Andrew, you write transgressors. I do. Andrew, you sound really mean in it. Yep. I hate illogic. I hate irrationality. But I don't hate people who have sin. At least I try not to, because that's where you're supposed to have grace. That's where you're supposed to have the unexpected sacrifice on behalf of people. And, I mean, that's a challenge for all of us all the time. Are we really, really willing to give up things? Are we really willing to be inconvenienced? Are we really willing to be kind to the people that, like us, have problems? 7:48 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers. On the News Radio Garden Line, sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Hall's Hardware in Milton.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
From this day forth, all the toilets in this kingdom shall be known as John's.
Good morning, 750 News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Apparently, there's quite a historical process surrounding the death of Pope Francis. I'd never really paid much attention to this earlier on. But first, the Pope's chief of staff calls out his baptismal name three times. If there's no response, that's when they prepare a death certificate. The chief of staff then takes the ring of the fisherman from Francis and destroys it, along with the papal seal to ensure that there are no forgeries. He then starts planning for the body to lie in state, makes funeral arrangements, and preps for the election of the successor, which is done 15 to 20 days after the Pope's death. The faithful can pay their respects to Francis within the 9-day mourning period at St. Peter's.
Okay, I didn't know the thing about the ring. That was new to me.
Yeah.
Interesting.
A lot of tradition and history goes into all that. Of course, that conclave will be scheduled to pick the next head of the church, as they did when Francis was elected in 2013. Eligible cardinals from the College of Cardinals meet in the Sistine Chapel to vote for a new pope. And once they do, they have no ability to leave or communicate with the outside world until that decision is made.
No cell phones on the inside.
No cell phones at all. The Boston Marathon's being held today. It's going to be a lot of security in Boston for that. Local, state, and federal authorities there collaborate annually for an extensive security plan on that.
And is it always the Monday after Easter? The Boston Marathon, the bombing took place on April 15th. I know that because of my son's birthday. It's a name, a date. I thought it was on the 15th every. It's not on the 15th every year, I guess. It's like Founders Day or something. Also, isn't it the same? There's some political holiday around this too.
I believe so. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure on that, but it is always around this time. But apparently, definitely not always on the 15th. More states reporting cases of the measles, Andrew. Louisiana, Virginia, and Missouri now all reporting cases over the weekend. They say those cases are linked to international travel. There are 27 states that have confirmed measles cases at the moment. 800 cases have been reported in total.
If only we had a solution. If only we had a way to stop it. I mean,
if only.
If only there was something out there that would sort of immunize people from the disease and, you know, protect them from it. If only there were some way of inoculating them against getting it. It's just such a pressing mystery. All right, David, thank you.
Well, on we go.
Oh, like a vaccine.
Huh.
Like if only we had a vaccine. Huh. Okay. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:53 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, goodness. All right, where was I? John, I have a job for you.
No. I'm
just saying no to
Let's
begin with.
Let's give away tickets. I got tickets for the Dixon School of Arts, the Dixon Dub. This comes up on May the 2nd at 6 p.m. So I've got a pair of tickets for you to go to this great annual fundraiser that they have at the Dixon School of Arts and Sciences for the Lip Sync Battle. It's always a good time. May 2nd. Call now, 437-1620. Be caller number. Be fast. Be one. 437-1620. There you go. Be fast. Be one. 437-1620. What else do we have going on? This is very interesting bill that's worked its way through the legislature in Tallahassee, and the governor has now signed into law, is the pet insurance regulation bill. Now, if you're not a pet owner, you're going to be the what now? No. Okay. First of all, when you get veterinary care, especially for like end-of-life care, really serious care, cancer, things like that for a pet, it can be very expensive. Even just, you know, routine surgery can be several hundred dollars or more. But you're talking hundreds and hundreds or thousands of dollars of health care for a pet that's ill. And if you have to go to, like, emergency care, which I had not realized how expensive that is on top of ordinary care, but, like, when we were, you know, breeding our puppy, you know, we had to take one to the emergency vet. And it's like, give us $500 just to start. And we're like, oh, we're breeding them to kind of make money, not to spend, you know, but we did, and that dog wound up not surviving. But because of what we learned in watching that, we were able to rescue the others, because we might have lost one or two of the others. Anyway, there's a bill that just got signed. It's HB 655, and the bill basically requires pet insurers, that's right, you pay a monthly premium and that insures your pet for healthcare costs, to disclose whether policies exclude coverage for things like chronic conditions or pre-existing conditions. Sound familiar? Requires them to provide information about claims payments and benefit schedules. It puts you in a really awkward economic position because, you know, we all love our pets. We want to do anything for our pets. But, you know, you're facing a $3,000 bill for an animal you paid $500 or $600 for. It's a weird kind of position, right? And basically, I get the value of pet insurance because people who want to put themselves in a situation where they don't have to make that decision. But I also get that if operators are not doing the right thing, if they're not providing insurance properly and giving you good information, you might think you've got coverage and turn out that you don't, which is bad, which is what this bill is meant to fix. So I appreciate it. It makes sense to me that we'd have this bill regulating another slice of insurance in our state. 756 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
That's right. No new accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10 and I-110 are actually flowing very smoothly. Not seeing any delays on Highway 29 right now. Everything's looking good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Somebody texted in 437-1620. Somebody texted in that they thought the Boston Marathon I covered the bombing live, and so it always comes in my brain. They come together. I'm sorry, but that the Boston Marathon was the same weekend as the Lexington Concord annual. I know they fall in time similar to each other, and that may be. I thought it was Founders Day. I have to look it up. Can't do it live in the air. 437-1620. Speaking of marathons, this was the most distressing story over the weekend, of course, prior to the Pope passing, for me, is the half marathon they ran in China. You say, why is that distressing? Well, because they allowed 20 participants that were robots to run.
Terminator.
Not again. Yeah, I mean, like, I've seen all the movies many times. And no, the robots were not chasing the humans. As far as we know, the robots were much slower than the humans. The humans finish half marathon in like an hour. Robots were finishing in like 3 hours. And they weren't running. They were more like kind of fast walking. They weren't really running. But like I try to say about AI, right now is when the robots are as bad as they're ever going to be. Right now is when the AI is as bad as it's ever going to be. So, you know. Yes, they were slow. They were about three times as slow. Yes, they had to have their battery packs charged, change out, and all. And some of them fell, and some of them were little, like, you know, little people, and some of them were full size, whatever. But robots running next to humans, at the moment unarmed, I guess, you know, and not having like saw attachments on their arms or anything. I don't want this future. I know. Fighting fires and deep sea excavations and, you know, there's all kinds of adverse environments where robots are going to be very useful. And, you know, the robot's not going to make a mistake because it's been on duty for 43 hours straight. I mean, I get it, but that scares me too. Maybe because I've seen far too many of the wrong kinds of movies. That's where we're at. You know, sorry. Not sorry. Frontier Motors, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide where to go to buy that fully autonomous vehicle. No, just kidding. If you're thinking about looking at all the different cars that are available, and sure, I mean, you know, the features of the modern safety equipment are kind of amazing these days. And you might want to know who's got the best one or whose particular features do people like or dislike. Listen, you're going to have experience with, what, a couple dozen cars in your life? You know, if you rent a lot of cars and you travel, maybe more. But most people, a few dozen cars in your life. And so you don't really know a lot of what's out there compared to the folks at Frontier who see hundreds and even thousands of cars. And they know what people tell them they like and they don't like. They know what sells quickly and what doesn't sell quickly, what holds its value. So ask them. Think of them as a resource when you're looking for a car. You know, hey, what do you think is a good economy car? What do you think is a good minivan? Are there problems in this generation that we might not be aware of? And then what's a good value? Anyway, they can tell you. Think of them as an ally, as an advisor, rather than an adversary. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.